Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Astrid Kazanjian of Armenian Delight in Broomall, Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church, along with our co-host, Mr. Veh Buzdigyan, with a new episode of the podcast. Let us start our day and our program with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church.
Aravodian ais aghotk'a yev panavor bashtamunk'a entune amenagal amenamedzet astvats ku yergnayin anabagan hargerut mech artarutyan yev imastutyan luisit tsakhe mer vra yev mez luisi u tseregi vortiner tartsur vorbesi yerp ora patsvi yergughadzutyamp varenk mer gyank'a yev arants khaytakhutyan ir gadarumin hastsnenk որովհետև ցունես մեր օկնականն ու փրկիչը քեզի գվայելեն պարկը իշխանություն ու բադիվը այժմ եւ միշտ եւ հավիդյանս հավիդենից ամեն Almighty God most great accept our prayers of this morning and the adoration of our hearts in your holy and heavenly sanctuary shed forth into us the light of your righteousness and wisdom and make us the children of light and children of the day, so that during this coming day, we may pass our life in godliness and end it without offense. For you are our helper and savior, and to you is fitting glory, dominion, and honor, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.
Gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum. Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
Advent continues, Der Narek. We talked about it a little bit last week. And I know you'd like to focus on the theme of Advent for the next few weeks, till the date of the revelation of Christ on Christmas Day. Why don't you talk a little bit about your perspective on Advent this week?
I think we are living the season of Advent here at St. Sarkis Church. Last Saturday we were planning to have a family worship, the thing that we do once a month with our students and the parents of our Saturday school students. However, because we had something else going on here in the church, we didn't have enough space, we were kind of iffy about it, but we decided to do something different. We had all the children in church, and we spent some time together with the children, and we spoke about Advent, and we spoke about the preparation, and it's very interesting. When you're up with the kids, all kinds of questions that the kids have, and they ask you the questions.
Again, the very creative and entertaining questions.
Absolutely. But besides our Saturday experience, we also had the brunch at the North Pole. Veh, you were here.
Yes.
How was it?
It was terrific. The kids were really into it. Because, of course, anytime you bring references of Christmas to the children, the elves were there, the photos were being taken, they played games. So it was really an exciting day for the kids. But I'd be curious to know, what was their perspective on Advent when you presented it to them on Saturday? What was their feedback?
So I started our conversation by asking them a question. What's the season now? And there was this huge discussion. Is it fall? Is it winter? I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. We are talking about the church season. And obviously the kids did not know. And they felt very strongly that this is a time for us to teach them. And I said that this is the Advent season and we are preparing. We are getting ready to welcome the birth of Jesus Christ. When you're with the kids, you have to use images that resonate with them, things that they can understand. I gave them the example of construction. working on the roads and mending the streets. And I gave the example of Throgsnek Bridge. And the kids, all of them have been on the bridge. And most of them, they know that there's always construction on the bridge. It never ends. And I was able to relate that to what John the Baptist was doing, preparing the way for Jesus. And I said, just like the construction never ends on the bridge, it is the same with us. We have constantly need to make sure that we are preparing the way, our hearts, our lives, to welcome Jesus Christ. I felt that kids were interested and they accepted the example that I gave to them. So it was an interesting little session that we had with the children. And I chose to speak about the whole idea of being ready, because it's something that I'm trying to implement in my own personal life this year. I'm trying to take Advent differently this year. I'm trying to stay focused on preparing. Our culture, the day after Thanksgiving, they make you believe that Christmas is there already and you have to kind of rush. And we're trying to chase something. And you fall into that and you think that this is the most difficult time of the year when you're trying to do everything after work or you're stressing too much. This year, my approach is different. In the past, I would kind of fall into the temptation of having a lot to stress about. You know, it would be the time for either the finals or the papers. When up until last year, I was studying to submit all the requirements of my studies. And then on top of that, the work that we need to do here at church. And then the Christmas shopping, all the gifts, it will create a very stressful situation in my life. This year, I don't have the papers. I'm trying to manage my work level and also trying to not to go shopping. We're doing everything online using the internet. But
Amazon is a wonderful thing for that.
Especially when you have Prime.
Not a plug for Amazon in particular, but it really is an incredible product.
But I'm trying to prepare. You know, internally, I'm trying to do that by reading and by praying. The most important prayer that I have this year is peace. For anybody who has been listening to our podcast, they know that we always end the podcast praying for peace, praying for the peace of our Lord into our hearts. Same idea is the focus of my prayers, hoping that peace will come to earth. Peace will come, especially in the Middle East, where I have family, and peace will be dwelled in our families and in our hearts. So that's how I'm taking Advent this year. And I'm sharing this with our listeners to encourage them not to be caught up with what the culture is constantly telling us. Go out there, do shopping. That's the way to observe the season. But to look inside and see what are you missing inside to make sure that you are ready to welcome the birth of Jesus, the biggest event of history.
I can tell you, they're not from my personal experience throughout the years. Christmas kind of just sneaks up on you. It really isn't a time where you reflect upon that event. It just kind of happens. And I appreciate your perspective on being a little more introspective and looking inward and actually focusing on what the meaning of Christmas is. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will take away the same sentiment. So I'm not sure how I'm going to implement that in my life, but I hope to follow your example and try to do very similar things.
And by no means I'm doing it perfectly, but it's like a confession. I'm trying to do things differently this year. And, you know, if our listeners can join us and try to implement simple changes in your lives, I think that would be a great thing.
I think that, to me, not to belabor the point, but the challenge is that really our lives are racing along and you hit the brakes during Christmas season because the kids are out of school. You stop. It's a time for family, time for that. It's that momentary break that we get where work stops. Usually people take that time off, maybe a few days between Christmas and New Year's. So really, you're just running to get to that point. So it's nice to actually think about it in those terms where you can start to reflect upon what happens leading up to the birth of Christ, like in the context of, biblically speaking, when you said the John the Baptist speaking about the revelation of the one to follow. And that kind of resonated with me.
And the good thing about us being in the Armenian tradition is that we celebrate Christmas first week of the new year. We kind of start our year with Christmas. So we, of course, as families, we observe the Western Christmas on December 25th. Then comes New Year's. And you have an extra dose of Christmas message before you're right. kind of ready to
Maybe
go.
Maybe in an upcoming podcast, I'd like to ask you a question specifically about that. The difference and why the Armenian calendar it maintains the old Eastern calendar and everybody else has transitioned, particularly here in the United States, to the new Christmas date of December 25th.
Sounds like a plan.
I'll let that lie for now.
Okay.
The spirit of Advent will be alive and well this coming Sunday, Der Nareg, with our Simply Christmas program, which has become a tremendous tradition here at St. Sarkis Church. How many years has it been, Der Nareg, that we've been hosting the Simply Christmas performance?
This will be the 7th annual Simply Christmas concert.
It's outstanding. And this year, we will be entertained collectively by soprano singer Anna Kuyumjan, a cellist Elizabeth Kalfayan, pianists Elizabeth Martin and Stepan Tavitian, and the Harmonia Chamber Players. And lastly, but not least, we'll be entertained with some Christmas hymns by the choir of our very own St. Sarkis Church. And that's going to be this Sunday, December 13th, 2015, at 1:30 p.m. It's free admission, and we'll be having a reception afterwards. Children will be free. The reception will be $20 a person.
True, it's for my child and your child too. You'll see the day of glory. I'll see the day when men of good will live in peace again.
There we have a question to answer today. It came from a listener in Jerusalem. Obviously, this guy, his name is Solomon. I'm not sure if he is Armenian or he is Jewish, but he is asking us a very legitimate question. Let's play the question.
Yes, hello. This is Solomon calling from Israel, from Jerusalem, the heart of the Christian and Jewish world. And I want to tell you that I am so grateful for these details about the customs and the traditions of the Armenian Church. There really is no other forum for this kind of information. I have a question, however. Could you tell us the differences between the Eastern churches in Jerusalem that we see and the Armenian Church? What distinguishes the Armenian Church and the tradition from other similar traditions in the Eastern Orthodox churches? Thank you, and I look forward to your answer, and thank you for this opportunity for the calling.
Now, first off, Mr. Solomon, we are very honored that you listen to our show.
Absolutely. We've been talking about this for some time, about it would be nice to have a new feature added to the podcast, and Mr. Solomon kicked it off for us very well.
I was expecting a question from our community here in New York, but it came all the way from Jerusalem.
Terrific,
you know,
that
where
we
you
have listeners.
All the access, and this gentleman wants to ask us the question. I'm honored. Now, I'm not sure. The way that I understand your question, Mr. Solomon, is that you're asking about the distinction between the Eastern Orthodox churches and the Armenian church. And I hope you are not talking about the occasional fights that we see on Facebook between the Greek Orthodox and the Armenian Orthodox church. I honestly do not know why do they fight. And I have to give my disclaimer. I've never been to Jerusalem. I don't know all the details, but I can certainly speak about the differences between the Armenian Church, the Armenian Orthodox Church, and the other Eastern Orthodox churches. And I hope that's what you want to hear. Historically, the church that Jesus started is one, apostolic and universal. We belong to that church. However, it's part of the human experience that people were not always able to understand one another and live with one another. And for that reason, differences were created. Now, the Armenian church belongs to the family of the Orthodox churches that it is called the Oriental Orthodox churches. In that family, we have the Armenians, we have the Syrian Orthodox Church, we have the Coptic Orthodox Church, the Ethiopian, and the Orthodox Church of India. That is one family. And this is the earliest tradition or family of churches that stuck together. Initially, it was the Oriental Orthodox churches on one hand and the Western Church on the other hand. But we know that the Western Church also split between Rome and Constantinople. So they accuse us of being monophysite, which means that we only confess either the divinity or the human element in Jesus Christ. But that is a wrong accusation because we fully believe in the divinity and the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is that we are lost in translation. The Eastern Orthodox Church consists of the Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, and all the Orthodox churches of the Eastern Europe. So we have theological differences. We have differences in celebration. For example, we celebrate Christmas on January 6th, whereas everybody else celebrates Christmas on December 25th. But I do not like to focus on the differences. I like to focus on what unites us and the fact that we all believe in Jesus Christ. We have seven sacraments in the church. We believe that God comes to us in a community and we can experience God in a communal setting where God can transform our lives and makes us a miniature of his kingdom. Therefore, I would like to focus on these elements that the church is found by Jesus Christ, and we have the role of making sure that the church is the miniature of the kingdom of God and making people inspired to join the church and be part of the presence of God or the kingdom of heaven here on earth.
Then, Nadig, it reminds me a bit of the Nicene Creed, or the Havadamk, as we say in the Armenian church, where we profess our faith in one true God and the Trinity and go through all the various components of our faith. And correct me if I'm wrong, but in the Orthodox churches, we all recite the Nicene Creed during the liturgy.
Yes, we do. Even the Roman Catholic Church. And I think it's a great common denominator between two branches of Orthodoxy and the Roman Catholic Church to have the Nicene Creed as our foundation, something that unites us because that expresses the core of our theology.
Dad Nadeg, I think this is a great start to our new program, the caller Q&A or the listener Q&A. And Mr. Solomon really did a great job getting us started. So we're grateful for his input and for this chance to be able to engage with our listeners. And we hope others will take us up on this opportunity, maybe put together, construct an email, or have a call in directly to Dad Nadeg that we can record. So we'll try it. We can do anything we want because it's a podcast and it's a very fluid environment that we can edit and change as needed.
And if our friend in Jerusalem has the technology to record a question on his telephone, I think everybody here in the U.S., we all have the technology. Get on your telephone, record your question, and send it to us, and we'll take the time and try to give the answer that your question deserves. Let it be.
can it be?
It was, I think, 2 weeks ago that we were talking about the terrorism in France, the threats that this country, our country, is receiving. And last week, it was so sad to see what happened in San Bernardino in California. What are your thoughts about the tragic event?
So my thoughts are consistent there, Narek. From our last conversation till today, they haven't changed. And I don't want to get into a long, protracted discussion about terrorism again because, you know, we're talking about topics that are relevant to our community and happy thoughts. And we talked a lot about the children and the activities we had here over the weekend. But we're still facing the same consistent threat, and we're dealing with it to whatever extent we can as a nation. We're trying to heal from it and trying to learn from it. So hopefully we will learn and things may change with respect to our response, our vigilance, and more importantly, our policy at the national level.
Yeah, I don't want to discuss politics. That's not the reason that I brought this topic up. But one thing that I'm not able to fully mentally grasp is the fact that how can a parent, a mother, leave their six-month-old child behind to go and to commit a tragic killing? Why your motherly instinct did not kick for you to stay home and take care of this gift that God has given to you? And the more I think about it, I'm reflecting on my own personal experience that I have. As we told, we have a new baby at home, and not like I don't care about all my children, but when it comes to Abedis, I always look forward to go home just to see the smile of that newborn baby. And when you don't have that, it means that something mentally is wrong with you. I do not like to compare religions, but the point that I'm trying to get is that our faith is about life and it's about love. And these are the things that I think we need to focus on, especially in this season of Advent.
That's a very human sentiment there, Narek. And I think if you look at it in rational terms, it's completely unfathomable that a new mother would look to do such a horrendous thing and leave their child on this earth knowing that they're going to be left without a mother and a father. So there are various components to this where your life as a pastor and as a psychologist, you could probably dissect this and still never come to any conclusion because it just makes absolutely no sense to us. But we're dealing with a completely different way of looking at the world and looking at conflict. And their interpretation is by any means necessary. So we're trying to fight a rational war. They're coming at us from every different direction. And they're committed to a cause that we will never fully understand, nor can we accept.
The tragic events like San Bernardino always remind me of what is happening or what has been happening in Syria for the past 4 years. From that perspective, why don't we talk a little bit about the ARF event? They celebrated the 125th anniversary. And as I reflected on it here in my sermon, I said it was not a regular celebration because every time you go, you hear some speech, you enjoy the Harapoagan songs, and you go home excited. This year it was different because they had somebody from the ARF in Syria who came and spoke about the situation in the Armenian communities of Syria, and he showed a video to us. And I think it was very well done. The presentation that he made was beautiful. And the effect that that presentation and the video created was really enormous.
It was incredibly enlightening. I can tell you, like you said, we've been to many of these types of banquets. And the ARF, the Armenian Revolutionary Federation, always puts together a great evening of both music, speeches, information that you can walk away with, and entertainment, as well as a good meal. But in this instance, there was the Syrian-Armenian relief component to it, and they really were successful in tugging at everyone's heartstrings, recognizing that this is a collective pain that we're suffering together with our brothers and sisters in Syria, gave us the amount of detail to know what is exactly happening on the ground, and really enlightened. I mean, for me, it gave us the true feeling and the sense of the struggle that they're dealing with daily.
I like the presentation and the video because it portrayed life as it is happening right now in Halep, the main Armenian community of Syria. But I really liked how he concluded his presentation when he said, "We are going through all these struggles, but we are not miserable." The Armenian word mm-hmm. that he used, "Kherchchenk." Mm-hmm. And I think that in itself was a very powerful statement that showed us that the war of almost 5 years was not able to subdue that strong spirit that our community has.
My takeaway there, Narek, was that no matter what, this community is going to stay. And they have the passion and the will to continue to survive under very, very difficult circumstances. And with that understanding, I think everyone felt very comfortable and felt it was their responsibility to open up their wallets. And ultimately, they collected a very nice sum of $30,000 to be sent back and to support the effort in one evening.
That is excellent. And it was almost around the same time last year when we had the prelate of Halep, Shahan Serpazan, visiting us. He did almost the same thing. And every time that somebody comes and makes a presentation to us of how is it to live in Halep during the war, and especially something that speaks volumes to my heart is when they present the situation of the children. He spoke and he gave numbers that we have almost 3,500 students who are going to Armenian schools in Halep. That is so important for me. And for us, if we don't do nothing but support those kids who are pursuing Armenian education there, that is something that we all should be participating and supporting our brothers and sisters in their efforts. Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. The reading today is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5.
Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Amen. Veh, did you know that this is one of my absolute favorite passages of the New Testament?
I didn't know that, but I can understand why.
This has been such an inspiration for me when I was a seminarian, and I just love it. Because Paul is telling us that we are justified. We have a new life, but that does not mean that our new life is a problem-free life. It doesn't mean that we can go and do anything that we want and we have it easy now because we are justified. He is telling us that even that now we are justified by faith, we will go through sufferings. But this relationship that we have with Christ will give us a very different perspective on how to process the sufferings that we have in our lives. And there's a role that Paul sees in the presence of sufferings in our lives. We don't like sufferings. Who likes sufferings? We always try to avoid them. We always try to delay sufferings. Life is all about instant gratification. We want everything now. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody can eliminate sufferings from our lives.
But this gives us hope to deal with it.
Not only that, but sufferings, the way that Paul puts it, has a function. And that function is to create character in us. When we go through sufferings, we become stronger. Just like that Chinese proverb that says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I think the sufferings in our lives build something in us, make us stronger, give us the experience to know how to deal with the problems of lives. But when you view sufferings from the light of faith, and you know that this is something that will strengthen your relationship with God, then that suffering has more value to it.
I like the causal inference from the writer, from Paul, in where he details, from suffering, you get endurance. From endurance generates character, and that character produces hope. So it's very clear, there's a linear sort of progression, and in light of what we talked about earlier, we always need to focus on the hope, because if you get bogged down in the suffering and the challenges, then it suffocates you.
It does. But Paul doesn't make the jump from suffering right away to hope. He puts that there's endurance. You know, there's a part that it's on us. And when we go through that, our character is built, and eventually we will see hope. So, as you say, I like that transition that we see in his writing. And when we have hope, hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. And that's like, when I read this, there's the visual image in my head. You're going through a dark tunnel where there's suffering, endurance, character building. And once you get to the hope, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is shed by the love of God, which is in our hearts. So I know we are in the season of Advent. I know that this is a season of celebration, but I also know that there are a lot of people from our community, from our parish, friends of mine, who are going through enormous amount of sufferings in their lives. I hope and I pray that this reading, the wisdom of Paul, will touch their hearts, and they will be able to see the benefit of suffering in our lives, to be able to welcome the hope and the love of God in our hearts. Amen. The hymn today is called Of Bardisban. This is a hymn that we sing during the celebration of the Divine Liturgy in our church. This hymn is performed by renowned singer Isabel Bayraktarian. I hope you will enjoy listening to Of Bardisban. We will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to thank all of our listeners, those who are in this country or outside, even in Jerusalem. I would like to thank our co-host, Mr. Ve, our producer, Mr. Greg Doster, and I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen. Oh.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Astrid Kazanjian of Armenian Delight in Broomall, Pennsylvania. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode of the podcast, please contact the church office at 718-224-2275.